welcome you to the house of God tonight, and for those who are watching online, we'll take a moment, please, still ourselves, as we wait before our God and His presence this evening. So let's unite our hearts in prayer. Eternal God and loving Father, it is with thankfulness that we bow before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come at the outset and we ask for that fresh cleansing and the infilling of God the Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, as we seek to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we're asking Thee to draw near to our hearts tonight and come by, Lord, and be one of our number. Leave us not to ourselves. Leave us not to the mechanics and emotions of another Tuesday night prayer time, O God. But we pray that we would know the Spirit and the infilling of God the Holy Ghost, prompting us in prayer and helping us, O God, in the preaching and in the hearing of Your Word. Lord, lead us out now, we ask of Thee, and Lord, tarry with us these things we ask in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. We're going to start tonight by singing the words of the hymn 169, as it's found in our hymn books, 169. Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven, fill us with the Holy Ghost, promise of the Father given, send us now a Pentecost. So we're going to stand to sing in the first note, preparing ourselves to sing this hymn, please, hymn 169. Again, let's unite our hearts in prayer as we get on the Lord's presence. Let's continue in prayer before Him even this evening. And may even the words of that hymn be granted that we would know what it is to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, that He would come amongst us, for this is our great, great need, the need of the hour. So let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. Eternal God and loving Father, we bow before Thee, again, giving thanks and offering praise unto Thy holy and thy precious name. We do thank thee for our means of access unto thy throne. We thank thee that we come not in our own merit, nor in our own standing, but we stand in Christ Jesus, and we stand upon that finished work. We thank thee, Lord, for him. We thank thee for the only Redeemer, the one that thou didst send into this world in the fullness of time. We thank thee for the great counsel and eternal decrees of our God, the marvel of it, working it out in time. We thank thee for the Son of God who became the Son of Man, the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. We thank thee, Lord, for his impeccable life. We thank thee, Lord, for perfect obedience rendered and a willingness to go to the tree. Rejoice, O God, for the one who was wounded for our transgressions and who was bruised for our iniquities. We thank thee for the one who was lifted up. And Lord, by that very act of lifting up, Lord, thou hast and are accomplishing the purpose that all men across the face of this world, of every type, of every kindred and tribe and nation and people and tongue, are being drawn unto thee. We rejoice in this, O Father. And yet, Lord, we thank thee for the one who was lifted up and was laid low in the tomb, and yet now is risen and exalted and ascended on high. We thank thee for a great high priest in glory, and we rejoice for the promise of the Holy Ghost. We thank thee, Lord, for that outpouring at the day of Pentecost upon the New Testament church. We thank thee, Lord, that it was very evident that they were endued with power. They were men that were changed, men who were enabled, and women too, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to witness a good confession. O God, to be bold in their stand for thee, and O God, to see many turned unto God from their idols. And we pray, O God, that we would experience even our day a fresh outpouring of God the Holy Spirit. And yet, Lord, to that end, we pray that we would be clean vessels. We pray, O God, that thou would see fit vessels that are clean, which thou art able to fill and to use for the glory of thy name. Lord, deepen the repentance within our own hearts. Cause us, O God, to turn for those things that are foolish. O God, those things, not only actions and activities, but attitude of heart. Lord, take from our hearts pride. Take from us that self-righteous spirit. O God, that, Lord, unteachable heart, as if we know it all, and there's nothing for us to learn, and we have all the answers. O God, we pray that thou would humble us and show us our great weakness and desperate need of thee. Lord, we pray that thou would grant that tonight. And we pray, O God, that thou would help us in, Lord, the preaching and the hearing of the word. And then, Lord, especially in the time of prayer, Lord, prompt prayer tonight. Give prayer in the Holy Ghost. Send those petitions from heaven that they may ascend back up unto thee. Help us to pray according to thy will. And we ask, O God, that we would be very conscious of thy presence. Remember, Lord, our brother Laverty tonight, as he is installed in Gardenstown. We pray for him that he would know that fresh anointing as he takes up, Lord, a pastorate there. That thou would bless him, O God, and use him for the glory of thy name, for the winning of the lost, and for the edification of thy saints. Lord, we are, as your word commands us, we are to edify one another. Lord, as we read this morning, we are to edify one another. And I pray that we, O God, as thy people, would be an encouragement, Lord, to each other in the faith. Help us, O God, we pray. Remember our congregation. We pray for it collectively. And yet, Lord, we pray very specifically for those who are hurting, those who are suffering, those who are frail and old age is creeping upon them. And we ask, O God, that thou would draw near unto such tonight. Remember them, we asked of thee. And help those that are downcast and discouraged and that have become weary of the way. Lord, their feet are tired, as it were. We pray, O God, that thou would refresh them. Even maybe as they're watching in tonight, you'll encourage their hearts. O Lord, we ask, O God, that thou would remember our nation. Again, we lament its lack of, Lord, just awareness of thee and the things of God. Lord, a nation whose heart has become impenitent and hard to the things of God. A district, O God, who has no time for thee. A people, O God, who have gone their own way. And yet, O God, we ask that thou, as thou hast shown mercy with us, that thou would show mercy with them. And Lord, that thou would, Lord, cause again the people to fear thee. Not, O God, to fear death so much. Oh God, for many believe they'll just die and be buried like an animal. Lord, cause them to fear Thee. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Cause them to tremble that there is a God with whom they have to do. God, cause them to, Lord, understand that there is a day appointed for their death, but after that, the great judgment. And I pray, O God, that that fear would grip the heart. Consciousness of sin, an awareness that they're not right with Thee, a troubling of the soul. O God, put in the plough of Thy law and break up the fallow ground and send the sweet influence of the blessed Spirit and prepare many hearts for the seed of the Word. Lord, hear us, we ask of Thee. Continue with us as we seek to worship and praise Thy holy name. For these things we ask in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to further worship the Lord tonight with a hymn. I believe it is possibly a new hymn, 518 in our hymn books. There's no better place to learn than the prayer meeting. It's quite a simple tune in the verses. And then, of course, well, for me, it's a little bit more difficult. But Reverend Greer has told me that it's maybe not known by too many. So I'm going to ask our sister Jerusha, and she's going to play through the first verse and the chorus. And then she'll give us a line for an introduction, and we'll stand on that. So you follow the words and listen to Jerusha, and then we'll stand to sing, please. This word, so we'll ask our sister to give us the introduction, and on that first note, let's stand and try our best to sing this hymn, please.
There's a word for you.
deceived. You seem to know it, or you've got on very quickly. But they are tremendous words. We'll sing verse 2, and we'll make it our final verse. There's a work for Jesus. Humble though it be, 'tis the very service that he would ask very specifically of thee, every individual in this meeting tonight. Verse 2, let's make it our last verse, please. One you can look up on YouTube when you go home. You'll not find too many versions of it, but you'll find the odd one. Let's turn in God's Word, please. I'll ask you to turn to Exodus 31. And we will read the opening 11 verses of this chapter. So Exodus 31, please, and commence reading at the verse 1. So let's hear the Word of the living God. Exodus 31, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the spirit of God and wisdom and an understanding and a knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have with him give Aholiab, the son of Ahisamac, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. The tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table, and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture and the laver and his foot and the cloths of service and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded thee shall they do. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now we began our series of a tabernacle in Exodus 25, where the Lord gave commandment to Moses to make him a sanctuary that he may dwell among his people. And we have looked at many features of the tabernacle, its furniture, fixtures and fittings. Plus, we briefly looked at the priesthood which God ordained should serve in it, how they were chosen, clothed and consecrated. Now, chapter 31 brings us to an end of the instructions for the design of the tabernacle. Moses had been on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And by the end of the chapter, we find that the Lord, he was finished speaking his mind unto a servant. The tabernacle instructions were now complete. The tent with all its parts and pieces had all been fully revealed. So all that remains for it is to be built. Now I say all that remains, but of course it's not really anywhere near that simple. Back in Exodus 25 and verse 9, we read that God said that it was to be constructed according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. There's three further references throughout the details where we read that it was to be made after the pattern, according to the fashion, and as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall ye make it. So the plan had to be carefully followed. Who was to build it? Who was the individual entrusted with following this plan? Moses himself was learned in all the learning of Egypt. He was acquainted with the words of God and the visions of the Almighty, but it would have been impossible for him to look after the details of construction. He could hardly be expected to project manage, considering the multiplicity of his other duties. Time simply would not have permitted him to undertake this task. But God had his man to complete this important work. A man not well known in Scripture, not as well known as other prominent Bible characters, yet one who had the great responsibility of constructing a place for the Lord to dwell among his people on earth. And that was no small task to follow and working to a divine blueprint. Tonight I want to look at verses 1 to 6 and consider the man who was chosen under the heading Bezalel, the tradesman of the tabernacle. Bezalel, the tradesman of the tabernacle. The first thing I want to draw to your attention is this, that Bezalel was appointed. He was appointed. Look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The chapter opens with a strong command to Moses, See. And that word that carries the force of a direct command to Moses, a strong command to consider, to inspect, and to observe what God is doing, what God is saying. In other words, Moses was to pay close attention to God's instructions concerning the personnel who would oversee this glorious building program. Even as God specifically chose Moses and Aaron, he also specifically chose the man who would oversee the work of constructing and building the tabernacle. You now have all these websites like Check-A-Trade, where you go to get a recommendation for a trusted tradesman in your area to complete some job that you need done. Well, Bezalel is a tradesman that God recommends to Moses for constructing the tabernacle. Now, John Trapp, he said this, Moses might well doubt where he should find workmen among those brickmakers from Egypt. And yet, those brickmakers were artists, architects, painters, embroiderers, and musicians. You see, the grace of God had stirred the natural gifts and the latent power that lay within Bezalel and others. And knowing the name Bezalel, because it says here, I have called by name Bezalel, God also knew the gifts that he was endowed with and the measure with which he possessed them. Though those gifts, they lay hidden there in Egypt's slime pits as Bezalel treaded upon the straw and the mud to make the bricks. Nevertheless, they were there and God saw them and God appointed Bezalel to this important task. We often talk about hidden talents. The other day I was visiting one of the senior ladies of our congregation, and what a hidden talent that lady has. She is a tremendous artist. Paintings adorn her walls that she has done herself. They're very professional and you'd pay a pretty penny for them. And you're maybe all wondering who it could be. I would dare say that that's what you're trying to figure out in your mind. Well, I suggest it's someone that you maybe don't suspect. And yet there is a hidden talent. You see, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, that the Holy Spirit, he dispenses his gifts, those talents, those abilities, as he will. One gift to one, and then another gift to another, and it's all for the good of the whole body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was fittest of all to govern Israel, but Bezalel was fitter still than him to build the tabernacle. The choice was God's, and as the work was God's, he alone had the right to choose whom he will to do it. You see, that phrase there, I have called by name, it indicates a distinct act of the divine will. God was doing more than merely identifying the one who would be the builder, the tradesman. Rather, he was indicating to Moses that Bezalel was one who had been summoned to and commissioned for this task and this particular duty. Bezalel was not Moses' choice. He didn't put himself in that position, but he was God's choice. Jewish tradition would suggest that Bezalel's grandfather, was the husband of Miriam. So if Moses had have made this appointment, you know, Moses could have been charged with being partial to his own family relations. But this was not jobs for the boys. It wasn't nepotism. This was God's appointment, just as God appointed Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. Bezalel's calling or his appointment was from God. Therefore, no one could feel that their talents had been overlooked. God's calling left no room for boasting on Bezalel's part and no room for jealousy or envy on the part of another. And it is the Lord, brethren and sisters, who appoints and calls an individual into the work and places them where he wants them. And tonight we can pray. We can pray that the Lord would keep on appointing and calling individuals, even from our own congregation, that God would call them. That God would even make that known unto the rest of us, that God would call, God would appoint certain individuals into his work. We can pray for Brother Tom tonight as he begins the work that the Lord has appointed to him in Gardenstown. This was a personal appointment by God and of Bezalel. Now the name Bezalel, it means God is my shadow, or God is my protector. And this was a man who would be working under the shadow of the Almighty. Now you know what it's like when you're working with someone looking over your shoulder. It just throws you off. It puts the pressure on. You seem to tighten up and you just can't do your work as well as you could have if their shadow wasn't lingering over you. Well, this man, he was going to be working under the shadow and the supervision of God, and he would know and experience the opposite effect. Instead of a restriction, instead of that tightening up, that man would know the blessing of God, and he would know it to the extent that he would be able to complete the work. Read in Exodus 39 and verse 33. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So did they. Those who abide under the shadow of the Mighty, with the superintendence of God, will by his grace finish the work that God has appointed them to do. Now, what is it that keeps a Sunday school teacher in the work? A student in the college? A preacher in the pulpit? A missionary on the mission field? Well, it is the call. And it is the appointment of God. We should pray for those who are laboring for the Master, that they will know what it is to complete their work under the shadow and protection of God. Let me also take a moment to point out that the arts is a legitimate calling for the believer. And we see that here in this man Bezalel. We need more believers to answer that call. And the church, it should be producing excellent writers and painters and musicians, designers, architects and the like. You know, there's no point me going to illustrate a children's Bible book. It would be absolutely disastrous. I don't have that artistic talent or ability. But you know, there are some people who do. And God desires you to use that ability for him. The gifts and talents of Bezalel, they were directed to a secret and a worthy end. How often we see those abilities that individuals have directed to your moral ends. People that are good at music, well, and they use them for the music of the world. God's grace, however, it sanctifies talent to a noble end which glorifies God. We also notice in verse 2 that Bezalel, his lineage is mentioned. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. And why is that important? We often find that in Scripture. Now, of course, it's nice to find out something about the background of an individual, of this man. But I think there's something more important and something deeper that's going on. What you might call prophetic typology. You see, we could think of another from the tribe of Judah. One who obeyed God's law to build a dwelling place for God. David and his son Solomon. God gave David a vision, a desire to build the temple. And David, he passed on that vision, that plan, that architectural plan to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Like Bezalel, the Lord gave Solomon unsurpassed wisdom in order to construct the temple. We read of that bestowal in 1 Kings chapter 3. Thus, in a very real way, Solomon, with his spirit-endowed wisdom, was a greater Bezalel. Bezalel was the type. Solomon is what we would call the echo type. A further type. An advancement of the type. Would say it in another way. A greater installment of the temple builder par excellence that was yet to come. You see, in the New Testament, we find the temple building typology of Bezalel and Solomon is fulfilled in the great antitype, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the son of David and of the tribe of Judah. Christ is the one who is greater than Solomon. He is the master builder. He is the one who has been appointed by God for the task of erecting the great edifice of the temple of the living God. He's the one who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And believers, they are the dwelling place of God on this earth. We are the temple of the living God. Because he is the one, Christ, the one appointed. Therefore, he completed the work. He had great success in the work that the Father gave him to do. And accordingly, he deserves the greater glory. More glory than Moses and by extension, Bezalel, who constructed a tent in the desert. More glory than Solomon, who built a temple in Jerusalem. More glory, for he is building his church throughout the world. And in Bezalel's appointment, we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the first place, we notice that Bezalel, he was appointed. But secondly, we also notice that Bezalel was anointed. He was anointed. Look at verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding, and a knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Those who are selected by God are supplied by God. Those appointed will also be anointed. And Bezalel's natural ability is presupposed, and his gifts and his talents are not discounted. However, if all that Bezalel had to depend upon was his ability and his talent, he would most definitely have failed in his task. He needed the anointing of God. Verse 3 is a very interesting verse, for it records for us the first instance in biblical history where someone is specifically said to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I find this fascinating because Bezalel, he was neither a minister nor a missionary. He did not lead the children of Israel, nor did he serve as a priest in the tabernacle. He neither spoke in tongues, nor healed the sick, nor do we read of him performing any miracle. Yet this man was filled with the Spirit to work, how? To work with his hands. And is the first mentioned in the Bible to be filled. Now that does not mean that other men were not filled. I think it's safe to say that men like Joseph and Moses were filled with the Spirit of God. Yet the honor in Scripture belongs to a tradesman. A man that worked with his hands. The honor of Holy Scripture attributes to that man that he was filled with the Spirit of God. The same Spirit who inspired the eloquence of Isaiah, the melodies of the chief musician Asaph, who also imparted to Samson that mighty bodily strength which he displayed in Herculean feats against the Philistines. That same Spirit filled Bezalel with fine aesthetic taste and mechanical skill by which he was enabled to construct the tabernacle according to God's divine blueprint. God supernaturally enabled Bezalel to do the work of the building of the tabernacle. And what is interesting is this, child of God, and this is what you need to take to your heart. God saw this work just as spiritual and just as dependent on the Spirit's, Holy Spirit's power as the work of Moses and Aaron. Even though Bezalel had nothing to do with the preaching, teaching, or prophetic offices, he still needed the special filling of God's Spirit for his craftsmanship. And we all must be filled with the Spirit, no matter what our vocation is in life, no matter what God has called us to, what position we fill. The housewife and the mother, she needs the infilling of the Spirit. She might have the ability, she might have the talent to be the best cook and baker and be the most diligent cleaner. But if she is to do it to the glory of God, she needs to be infilled with the Spirit of God. The painter and decorator, he needs the infilling of the Holy Spirit. For if he's tempted to cut corners, maybe tempted to put on one less coat, well, the indwelling of the Spirit will convict him and cause him to do his work to the glory of God. The preacher in the pulpit, he needs the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, no matter if he's a great orator or has a command of the English language. It matters not about his abilities or talents. If he has not the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit, then his labors are in vain and they amount to nothing. And here we see this man working with his hands. His work was just as spiritual because he was to do it to the glory of God. And for that purpose, he was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And so that is with you, congregation. In your daily jobs, in your earthly tasks, in the position that God has placed you, you need the infilling, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Lord speaking to Moses about Bezalel, he said this. Look what it says in verse number 3. He says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. It's not that I will, but it is I have. The Lord had already anointed Bezalel with the Spirit for his work. We can compare this with Exodus 28. Just go back there to Exodus 28 and the verse number 3. Exodus 28 and the verse 3. And it says, And thou, this is the Lord speaking to Moses, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom. So there we see that God had already anointed individuals, and in particular this man, Bezalel, for the work that he was commanded to do. Now that's good news. That's good news, for we see that the Lord's calling in life, no matter what it is never an empty call. Instead, his call always carries with it the grace and the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to fulfill your calling. So believer, wherever God has placed you, whatever he has called you to, his Spirit is provided for you to fulfill that calling. Paul commanded the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. You'll know the words. Be filled with the Spirit. Now that command would not be given if it could not be fulfilled. And the word filled there, it means to be filled full. It's in the continuous tense. To be continually, daily filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit-filled believer, no matter what position they occupy, is controlled by the Spirit, under His guidance and influence, even in the common tasks and employments of life. Now in this anointing, we notice once again that Bezalel was a type of Christ, who was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure, and on whom rested the Spirit of wisdom and of counsel, and in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And as God's righteous servant and faithful servant, the Savior was anointed, as he testified in Luke 4 and the verse 18, to carry out his earthly work. And just as our Lord was anointed for service, so the believer. We need to know the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge of God. In these days, considering all that we have to face. Matthew Henry, he said this, when Christ sent the apostles to rear up the gospel tabernacle, He poured out His Spirit upon them to enable them to speak with tongues or languages the wonderful works of God, not to work upon metal, but to work upon men. So much more excellent were the gifts of the tabernacle to be pitched was a greater tabernacle. And just as I read the statement there, surely in the history of this church, we'd have to say that it was by the infilling and anointing of the Holy Spirit that the gospel tabernacle was built up. And that's what we need again. The Church of Christ needs a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. For while she may be organized and of many gifted and talented people within her ranks, if she has not the Spirit of God, then all her labors will be in vain. Bezalel, he was appointed. Bezalel was anointed. But finally, Bezalel was assisted. He was assisted. Look at verse 6. It tells us there, and I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that were wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Bezalel was firstly assisted by a partner. A partner in the work. Though Bezalel was tasked with shouldering the oversight of this work, he was aided by God's gift of Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. Now according to Exodus 35 and the verses 34 and 35, Aholiab was also gifted as a craftsman. And apparently, like Bezalel, he also had the skill to teach others in that artistic craft. Now, what does his name mean? Aholiab. What does it mean? My tent or shelter is the Father. My tent, my shelter is the Father or Father's tent. And like Bezalel, Aholiab's name is, it had tabernacle overtones. In the providence of God, he was named in such a way that his calling quite literally fulfilled it. His job was to build God's dwelling place on earth. And his name explained that the tabernacle was designed to show that God is a shelter for his people. The assistance that Bezalel received, we are reminded of that great truth that two are better than one. Christ sent forth his disciples who were to rear up the gospel tabernacle two by two. And no church is a one-man ministry. At least it should not be a one-man ministry. The workload did not simply fall to Bezalel. It would have been far too much for him. And that's why God gave him a partner in the work. Someone to aid him, someone to help him, someone to share that burden and that load. Many of you individuals have that partner in married life. God has given that as a gift, that individual to you as a gift to bear the load, because two are better than one. Not only was Bezalel assisted in his great task by a partner, but also by the people. Also by the people. In addition to Aholiab, there were many unnamed individuals who helped make the tabernacle and its furniture. Look what it says there in verse number 6. It goes on to say, "And in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee." You read in Exodus 35 in the verses 25 and 26. Of the wise-hearted woman whose heart the Lord stirred to work with their hands. The people there were really their types of spirit-filled believers who do God's work. And they're called here the wise-hearted in verse 6. The wisdom possessed by these people was not in their heads but in their hearts. A lot of people, they have head knowledge, and yet it seems that they don't have the ability to apply that knowledge and wisdom even in a common sense type of way. But it was not taught to them, this wisdom was not taught to them by man, but was produced in their hearts by the Spirit of God. This was not earthly wisdom, but heavenly. You see, earthly wisdom, it only touches the head, but heavenly wisdom, it touches the heart. And God, He places emphasis here in the heart, because man's heart determines what he does. His works, that volition that flows out of the heart, it reveals the state and the condition of what he is before God. And praise God, we don't believe in a one-man ministry or even a two-by-two ministry. But we believe that all God's people, all of you, are to labor for the Lord. We are laborers together with the Lord. And in Bezalel's assistance, again we see here that he is a type of Christ. You know, the Lord does not need us. He does not need you and me to spread the gospel, and yet he has sovereignly and in mercy, he chooses to use us. You know, in a moment, we will be coming to the great work of prayer. And brethren and sisters, let not the burden fall on the usual individuals. Bezalel and Aholiab, they did not work or complete it all by themselves. May God stir up the hearts of all his people. The young, the old, the man and the woman, and let us get at the work of praying. Let's not let the gaps lengthen tonight. You know, we've got over if there was any awkwardness last week in the return to the open time of prayer. That's come and gone now. And now we're on the threshold of that time of prayer, that work of prayer once again. And there is a great spiritual temple that Christ is building. May we be part of the work, and may we pray for that tonight. The Lord stirred up the people. And he put wisdom in their hearts. And may the Lord do that for us tonight. Bezalel was God's man who was appointed, anointed, and assisted. We sang the words of the hymn. Bezalel had a very specific task that only he could fulfill, that only he was appointed to. And we sang the words tonight of that new hymn. There's a work for Jesus. Ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. He is to do his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. May the Lord use each and every one of us as on this earth he builds his church, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Let's bow for prayer. And as we do so, those who are watching on Sermon Audio and Facebook Live, they will leave us. Those who are in Zoom, they'll remain for that time of prayer that will commence in a little moment's time. So let's unite our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Eternal God and Father, we thank thee for your word tonight. We thank thee for this man of whom not much is said in Scripture, and yet what a task you did employ him for. And I pray, O God, for each one of your children tonight who are here. We pray, O God, that they would fulfill the purpose, the plan which thou hast called them to and appointed them to, whatever it might be. We pray that each one of them would know the anointing of God the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, that we would assist one another in our labours for thee, that we would be workers together, O God, not just with one another, but workers together with the Lord. And we ask, O God, that thou would fill us with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, as we come to this time of prayer which lies before us, I ask, Father, that thou would prompt people to pray. Let us get at the work. Get our shoulder in, O God, and get under the burden of it. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we would have that spirit of grace and supplication poured out upon us tonight. O God, this is the work. And Lord, help us to not shy away from it. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless each and every one that's come tonight. That thou would remove the fear of man. That thou would bind, O God, the strong man and the old schemes and the plans and the accusations and Lord, the thoughts that he had put in. And I pray, O God, that you will make it easy to pray tonight. Lord, that thou would fill this house with thy presence. And help us supplicate your throne. And even, Lord, if it's just to ask thee to burden us to pray, Lord, may that, Lord, petition be offered up. We confess we need that burden. We confess how light it is upon us, O God. And oftentimes we feel not the necessity to pray. O God, we pray that thou would, Lord, just humble us before thee. And help us to not depend on the gifts, the talents, the ability, the knowledge, yea, O God, all the common grace that thou hast given to us in this house. And yes, we could rhyme up verses and quote scripture and, Lord, know all the doctrine and cross every T and dot every I. And yet, Lord, without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, what would that profit? Give help tonight in prayer. Give simplicity in prayer. Give honesty of heart, O God, we beseech of thee. And Lord, help us to know thy presence amongst us even tonight. Continue with us, Lord, even as we make these few announcements. And Lord, help in that time of prayer. For I ask this in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.